welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. We've been on a series for the last few weeks just talking about releasing the power of God in our lives. And we started out, you know, a few scriptures at the front end just saying, we know that there's amazing power for believers. In Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul said, he said, God can do abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to the power that works in you. Another place in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, I'm praying for you. What are you praying, Paul? He said, I'm praying that you get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you as a believer. In other words, Paul didn't want us to be squeamish about the power of God. He wanted us to get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of it and the fact that it is working toward us as believers. That's a powerful truth. And like we've been saying, you can have wonderful theology, but if your life is powerless, if you don't understand how to release the power that God gave you to live this life, it can be a very frustrating life to have great theology and no power. Paul proclaimed in the Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, infuses me with that power. The power of God is absolutely necessary to live a successful Christian life. You cannot live a successful Christian life without it. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but that through him we can do all things. So, I realized I got saved by grace through faith, and that was just the first step of faith along a life of faith, that I would live by faith and walk by faith. And so, as we looked at a few, the first couple points in terms of how to release the power of God, we said that it's released through prayer. That's one of the very practical ways I can just specifically, on purpose, pray for the power and the strength of God. When Paul prayed for the Colossians, he said, you know, Father, I pray that you will strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. Are you having trouble walking in love? Are you having a relationship issue? What did he say? He said, I pray that you strengthen them with might in the inner man for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Isn't that amazing? There is power to walk in love. There is literally a strengthening with might by his spirit in your inner man that gives you the grace to suffer long and be kind. It's not on my natural disposition or personality or strength of character. No, there's a strengthening by the power of the Spirit of God. And one of the ways I release the power of God in my life is through prayer. I'm simply asking. You have not because you ask not. Father, I'm simply asking to be strengthened with might by your spirit, my inner man. Give me that strength that I need. Another, we saw in Jude that you're praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. Praise God. You know, when Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, you know, not the day of Pentecost, but prior to Pentecost, when he had ascended, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He didn't say you would receive tongues. He said you would receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon them. Of course, we know they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And we also find out later in 1 Corinthians 14 that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. There is spiritual power and strength that you experience through praying in the Spirit. It's a form of edifying and strengthening your spirit. It's a powerful, precious prayer language that is given to us to speak mysteries beyond our natural understanding. So another way that we can on purpose release power through prayer, when we pray in the Spirit. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever pushed through and prayed in the Spirit? That's exciting. You know, I've been in places too where these perilous times that we're living in, you know, how do you pray sometimes? You see these news reports. One of the most powerful ways you can do is just begin to pray in the Spirit. I've had that where I've prayed in the Spirit in my heart. My heart is heavy over a situation. I'm praying in the Spirit, and pretty soon you get the interpretation of your own tongue. You start praying in English. You start praying specific targeted prayers as you begin to pray in the Spirit and pray with your understanding. God gave us these gifts for the last days to pray out and to have power in the last days. And we're gonna discover that a little bit more as we go through the message this morning. Praying in the Spirit, praying with understanding, on purpose praying, asking God for that power, that strength that we need. So we saw that, and James said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. So prayer. Do I have to feel inspired to pray? No, I can just go ahead and pray. I can pray because it is written. So prayer is one of the powerful ways that I release the power of God. Also, we said that the power of God is released through the Word of God. That the Word itself, these words, these very words are inspired by God. And Hebrews 4 tells us that they are quick, they are powerful, they are alive. And there's power in these words to work in our life. When we hide the Word of God in our heart, not only do we hide the Word, what it's saying, but the power that's in these words gets into our spirit. There is power in the Word of God. When Jesus was on this planet and he walked in his authority, we saw in the temptation where Satan had tempted him after the 40 days of fasting, where Jesus resisted Satan with the power of the written Word of God. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." What is Jesus doing? He's taking the power of the Word of God, and it becomes the rhema. Rhema is the spoken word. Logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken word. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. That word rhema is used there. It's when you begin to speak the Word of God out your mouth, because there's authority in these words. You know, have you ever tried, you know, you can reason in your mind with demonic attack and it just puts you on a merry-go-round of depression. But there is something about saying, "It is written." There is authority in the Word of God that my human reasoning doesn't have. Jesus, power of the enemy with the written Word of God. And we talked also last week about the importance of understanding as you read this Word of God. There is a special, I almost like to think of it as like if there's a decoder key, if you will, when you read through the New Testament. You got to understand, the New Testament was not written to the same audience that the Old Testament was written to. The Old Testament was written to people who weren't born again. They were simply natural human beings. They did not have the Holy Spirit in them. They were not righteous in their spirit. They didn't have the authority of the name of Jesus. They didn't have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. They were just natural men who were serving God according to his word on a law basis, obedience. So that's who the Old Testament was written to. The New Testament is written to born again, new creations in Christ Jesus who have the Holy Spirit living in them. They have the name of Jesus. They have the promises of God, you know, that the power of God is contained in the knowledge of God, which is contained in the promises of God, that through these promises you become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a new and better covenant based on better promises that they didn't have back there. And so this word was written to two completely different separate audiences in terms of your makeup on the inside. And so when you read this, you got to realize the Apostle Paul is talking to you as a new creation. He isn't talking to you from the framework of law. So, like we said, in the Old Testament, when the prophet gets up there and he shakes his finger and says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, those are law-based, things that he's telling people, restrictions. And what was the purpose of the law? To show us that we couldn't do it. We couldn't measure up. We couldn't live it. It was to bring us to Christ. That was the purpose of the finger-pointing law. To show us that, somebody once put it, it's a 10-foot measuring stick to show us that we're only 6 feet tall. It showed us that we needed Christ, ultimately. But now, the law has brought us to Christ, and now I am in Christ. So when the Apostle Paul says things like abstain, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication and things like that, and you see all these different, him that stole, steal no longer, him that lied, don't lie anymore, it's not the same thing. It's completely, this isn't Paul wagging the finger, oh, I got to do that, I got to do that. No, actually, when you read this right, he's speaking very respectful to you. There's a lot of respect in these words, but you've got to have ears to hear it. He's not speaking to you as a peon pointing your finger, hoop, 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 hoop. He's saying, you are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. He's saying, walk. He said, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Over here, the prophet is saying, obey my command. Over here, Paul is saying, be who you are. You are a new creation. You're not a natural man trying to keep the law anymore. Walk in the Spirit, and you just won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why is that? Because on the inside, you don't want anything of the flesh. It's a completely different paradigm. Totally different. It's brand new. There's power in the Word of God. And as you begin to read it, and you begin to think, and you begin to read some of the things, even in the admonitions and the instructions, praise God, it's exciting. Like we said, too, so there's kind of two aspects. There's identification, that's knowing who I am in Christ, praise God. And then there's the application of that identification. What does that mean by application? It means I'm simply walking out who I am. If I try application, if I try to walk something out without knowing who I am, it's going to be very frustrating. It's going to be legalism. It's going to be, you're going to feel like you're back under the law again. No, we need to find out who we are in Christ. I need to know that I am a new creation, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that the old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. I need to know that I am complete in Him. Praise God. But I don't stop here either. I don't stop at identification. No, I'm going to walk out and live who I am, who God... God made me these things to give me the power to walk out and be who I am. Walk out as children of the light. And I'll tell you what, that's an exciting thing, because really what you find out then is you're getting your legs on the inside. I'm learning how to walk. I'm learning how to develop as a child of God. Praise God, praise God. So there is power in the Word of God. And as you begin to read those words, and you begin to read even the admonitions, again, I'll just kind of, I'm just going to do a quick, for example. I love Colossians. Well, Ephesians and Colossians are just really, you talk about, identification and application. When you look at Colossians and Ephesians, they're set up that way. Colossians 1 through 2 is identification. Colossians 3 and 4, application. Ephesians 1, chapters 1 through 3, identification. Ephesians chapters 4 through 6, application. That's the way Paul would hit them. Say, you're amazing. God's done incredible things. You're in Him, in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, all these things. Now, walk as children of the light. Live this out, right? It's not just, he didn't stop at the first three chapters, and he didn't start with chapter 4. He starts with identification to let you know who you are, and then shows you how to live and walk it out. Praise God. And when you begin to see, kind of put your decoder glasses on as you're reading the Word of God, you realize, hey, he's talking to me as a new creation. I can do this. There's nothing in the New Testament that I can't do. Because I am a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. I'm going from glory to glory to glory. You're going to get to where you hardly know yourself in a good way. And you're going to walk in the power of God, and you're going to see things that you didn't see before. You see, as the power of God is revealed and unveiled to you, oh, it's amazing. You just realize, I like to say this, spiritual things are real. I say that. They're real. I know that they're real. But I'll tell you, as you begin to grow in the things of God, they get more and more and more real. But here's just kind of an example. When you look at the context where the Apostle Paul talks about some of this stuff, let's see here, where he says, do not lie to one another. Now, this is interesting. We weren't supposed to lie in the old covenant. We're not supposed to lie in the new covenant. But it's not don't lie to one another. He says this. Let's see. He says, do not lie to one another. This is Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's a very different context for not lying. Right? He's not talking to you as under the law, wagging the finger for a hoop to jump through. You're not lying because you've put off the old man and you've put on the new man. You see yourself as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not intimidated by any admonition that's in here because you're in Christ and you're a new creation. And he's talking to you with respect. It's just like, wow. When you get the revelation, it's like, wow, he really believes I can do this. He really believes I can live this way. He really believes I'm a new creation. You know, the Apostle Paul was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he spoke like a new creation in Christ Jesus, two new creations in Christ Jesus. It's not just the revelation to know that you're new. It's a revelation to know that you're new so that you can walk in the power of that newness. And I'm telling you what, when you see yourself getting free in your own life, and those hot buttons aren't hot anymore, and all of a sudden you got peace where you didn't have peace before and strength, and you realize and you know that there's nothing hot about you, you realize you're just walking in who you are in Christ, that's when this thing gets really exciting. Praise God. You get in those places and it's, ain't nothing going to break my stride. Ain't nothing going to slow me down with all those songs. You just realize you're going there. I'm walking as a child of the light. Praise God. Because that's who I am. That's who I am. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because he's in there. Not just theologically, but in reality. And so the power of God, the power of the Word of God, realizing that's released. There is power. When I get a revelation of that word, there is power in those words. The power that's in the word gets in me, begins to change the way I see myself and the way I act and live and think. Finally, final segment of this, how to release the power of God, is releasing the power of God through faith. All right? Through faith. And when I'm talking about faith, in the context here of faith, I'm talking about what Peter did. I'm talking about Peter getting out of the boat to walk on the water. You got your theology, you know your stuff, you've got the word, but there comes a time when you have to just step out, when God calls you to do it. It's obedience. There's tremendous power released through obedience. It's amazing. You know, when we look at the Apostle Paul's life, even pioneering the early church in these books, there were times in their missionary journey where they were kind of looking at each other and wondering, where do we go next? And you can read about it in the latter part of Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 16, where they said, you know, we got to go to Asia Minor. So they pack up the camels or whatever they had back then, their stuff, go heading to Asia Minor, and all of a sudden the Spirit forbids them. Nope, don't go there. I don't know how that looked. If it was a tongue, interpretation of tongue, a prophetic word, or a witness on the inside that Paul might have had, could have taken any form. Anyway, the Spirit communicated that to them. They go, okay, well, let's go to Bithynia. That must be where God wants us to go. Pack up everything, start going to Bithynia. Oh, nope, that wasn't it. And then all of a sudden Paul gets this vision from a man of Macedonia saying, come over to us. They think, wow, that must be it. All right, then they go over to Macedonia. They obey that. Now, here's an important thing to realize. It's not like, and I just really want to get across, it's not like Paul missed it, and he missed it, and then he got it the third time. No, he got it all three times. He got it, he got it, he got it. He had two red lights and a green light. He stopped at both red lights, and he went at the green light. That's three successes. He could have run those red lights, and the book of Acts may have ended in Acts chapter 16 in Bithynia. It didn't. And then he went at the green light. You got to go at the green lights. Good to stop at the red lights. We need to do that. But we also need to go at the green lights. And that's kind of what faith is. It's going at the green light. I got my theology. I got the word. I got the witness of the Spirit. Wow, all that's left is just got to do it. I got to step out. And that can take a lot of different forms. You know, I'm going to believe God for healing. I'm going to believe God for finances. I'm going to believe God for whatever it is. Or I'm going to take that he showed me to go over here. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. There is power of God that's released through faith. Peter, he got out of that boat. He started walking on the water. And there was power that sustained him and kept him up on top of the water through that act of obedience. It was pretty amazing. Of course, we know the rest of the story where he saw the wind and the waves. He began to sink. Jesus restored him. But there was power in his obedience. There is power in our faith as we do. We're doers of the word. Now, as we talk about it this morning, I want to kind of come at it from a couple different angles. We're a charismatic church. We believe in the present day power of God. We believe that he hasn't changed as far as his ability and desire to do amazing, supernatural, powerful stuff in the earth by the power of his Spirit. But I also want to kind of qualify a few things, and I think as we learn and understand a few things, it's going to help us grow and develop, even as a body of believers here in Northern Door County, to help facilitate the power of God in the earth up here. And the first thing that I want to look at is, as we look at the power of God and how it's released, kind of in a corporate way and an individual way. First of all, I love what the Apostle Paul said when he went to Corinth. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Praise God. I'm glad that my faith today doesn't rest in the wisdom of men. It rests in the power of God. I know the power of God. I have firsthand experienced the power of God to forgive sin, to restore peace, to strengthen me on the inside. When I talk about being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that is not just poetic, pretty-sounding, emotional, inspiring poetry. There is a real substantive strength of the Spirit of God that actually has strengthened me and sustained me. I know that power. I know that strength. The Apostle Paul was saying, when I came to you, I didn't come with just slick talk. There was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And this is something that we see that God wanted then, God wants now. A demonstration of the Spirit and power. But some of the things that you got to understand here too, from the Apostle Paul, you know, before he ever got into Corinth, and this is kind of the second missionary journey, we know that he was led by the Holy Spirit. He didn't go where the Holy Spirit didn't want him to go. He did go where the Holy Spirit did want him to go. And they were getting persecuted from city to city, but on the inside they were checking their hearts. And Paul was here in Corinth, not just because he got kicked out of Thessalonica, but because the Spirit of God wanted them to go on to that next place. And in their heart, they went there, and they were prayed up. And their desire was for the salvation of these people. That's why there was a powerful demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. But I want you to understand that the demonstration of the it's important that there is a motivation behind that demonstration. Okay? In other words, the Apostle Paul's, I mean, when you look at the humility he goes, "I was with you in weakness, fear, trembling." You can see he's not, He's not big man. He is, he's got a very, you know, in awe of God, just amazing demeanor here. And then there's a demonstration of the Spirit of power. This isn't man of God come to save the day. This is no egotistical thing. Weakness, fear, trembling, and power. Praise God. You see the context of the heart and his heart because he loved these people and he wanted to see the power of God. When that motive is there, it's amazing. You see, the demonstration of power isn't something that always works. There are times when the demonstration of power will not work. Here's one. Then some scribes and Pharisees, these are people talking to Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. We want to see a demonstration of power. Do a magic trick for us." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." You'll notice there's things that can create a powerful demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and there are things that will actually quench the Spirit, can shut it down. When somebody is saying, "Come on, you are who you say you are, do a magic trick for us, then we'll believe." You know, that's a very different context than weakness, fear, and trembling to get the gospel across. God resists the proud. He gives his grace to the humble. And when you begin to understand, this is why it's important for us, especially as Charismatic Church Last Days, understanding the power of God moving in the last days, there's got to be this also in our hearts. And what are you doing? You're desiring the power. You know, in other words, Paul didn't need a demonstration of the power for himself. He wanted a demonstration of the power for the people to help bring them to Christ. These people were standing there with their arms crossed saying, "Prove it." And the Spirit of God does not move in that context. We see another situation similar when Jesus went to his hometown. "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And talking about Jesus in his hometown, so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." Teaching. Now here again, you see another situation where the power of God could not move. There was unbelief. There was anger. Jesus marveled. He was amazed at their unbelief. And it actually inhibited the power of God from moving. Now, you think about that. The power of God, you know, Jesus could there do no mighty works. And why is this again? Because of unbelief. So here is some context where there could not, they wanted a demonstration of the Spirit and power. They didn't get one. Is it because God didn't want to touch people's lives? Yeah, he did. But there's a certain context that God does not move. The will of man does not dictate the power of God. He doesn't jump through our hoops in that sense. Now, this does not undermine faith. It does not undermine prayer. It does not undermine the promises of God and believing God. But there's a different context for that. You see, at this point, there's unbelief. And unbelief is demanding a miracle. Faith, what are we talking about? Releasing faith. Faith goes out ahead of the power of God. When there's faith released, there is power that comes in behind that. The Apostle Paul, he was in faith, weakness, fear, trembling. His faith was in the power of God. I just purposed to know him and him crucified, and he preached the gospel under the anointing and the power of God, and there was a flow. There was a humility. There was a faith that happened there. Here, so we see that faith goes out ahead of that. Now, when there was this kind of situation, we want to prove it, then that didn't work. Now, why is it important to spend a little time here to do this? Because sometimes you can observe this, especially in our charismatic churches and movement, we can kind of, if we're not careful, get an attitude to we're going to take the challenge. Bless God, we're going to show you the power of God in Northern Door. You think it's passed away? You stand back and watch and see if it's passed away. That's right. If you're going to take the challenge, sorry to say, power isn't going to be there. If that's your motivation, to bless God, show those people. Why am I saying this as a pastor of a charismatic church in Northern Door? We have to learn that our heart has to be Paul's heart. This has to be our heart. Verse 3, as we're in Northern Door. We need to be here in weakness and fear and trembling. We need to be here because we want to see lives changed, not to be vindicated about our theology about the power of God. That's no good. But when our motives are right, oh man, praise God. Amazing things can happen. We've seen powerful things happen. We've already seen. It's amazing how most of the miracles I've seen in the last 13 years of the power of God did not happen in a corporate service. They kind of happened out and about. You know, God isn't relegated to move between, you know, 10 and 10:30 or whatever that is. He's just in us. He's in his church. That would be make it too easy on the devil. No way. You know, he's got battles to fight and believers all over the world, 24/7, because that power is in us. But it's important as we talk about releasing the power of God, we can't fall into that trap. We can't take the challenge. We got to pray, God, we want your power. We want your power. We want to see broken lives touched. We want to see healed bodies made whole. We want people's faith to rest in the power of God. This is not about winning an argument. This is about seeing people get set free. And that's our motives. Praise God. Somebody once said, when you want what God wants for the reasons God wants them, then you're going to have what God wants. But we begin to see here, praise God. And again, the same thing. Now, what about Jesus? Here, it's kind of the same scenario here. He isn't going to, you know, they were offended at him. I'm sure he didn't feel very good about that either. But he wasn't going to prove something. Oh, yes, hometown boy made good. Get the sickest one you want here. Let me show you something. You know, we're gonna have a little miracle right here. I'll show you. Can we have that attitude? Could that be our motive? We got to be careful. That can't be it, can it? It wasn't Jesus' motive, was it? He went in the villages in a circuit teaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But here's the point. I mean, there can be more unbelief and jadedness about the power of God in a church on a Sunday morning than there was in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. And if Jesus couldn't perform mighty miracles then, probably your pastor now is, or even other, the move of the Spirit of God is going to be even that much more quenched. It's not that the theology is wrong, but we got to get our hearts right. We can't have a chip on our shoulder about the power of God. I'm just talking to us charismatics right now. We got to have that fear and trembling and meekness and praise God. Praise God. No, he went about the villages teaching. What did he teach? Well, we know he taught a lot of stuff. This is one of the things he taught. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. We're talking about releasing the power of God through faith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. This is a very different context than bossing God around here. This is something Jesus taught. He was going around in their circuit teaching stuff. One of his teachings. Have faith in God. God wants to move mountains on your behalf. He wants to do incredible things in your life. That's his heart. That's his desire. You know,
look at that scripture. I would have to say in whatever 30-some years in the charismatic movement as I've just kind of listened to, I think there are some people that just deep down inside just can't hardly believe Jesus actually said that. Just seems too far off the wall. Really? And then there's another group of people that technically know that he said that, but probably wish he hadn't have said that. And then there's another group of people who believe that Jesus said that and are really glad that he said that. Which group are you in this morning? We're talking about faith. These are the words of the one who died on the cross for your sins. These are the words of the captain of your salvation. These are the words of the finisher of your faith. Have faith in God. Faith. Faith, faith. Forget all the little things that you might have heard. You go to the Word to find out what you believe about faith. As we begin to look in the Word of God, again, we're not squeamish about the power of God. We want faith so that there can be miracles. I'm believing God. I'm saying things for the power of God to move on the earth. These mountains aren't just all just. You always kind of think of these things in terms of self-serving. I want to move this mountain thing off my... I want to move mountains in the world. I want to move mountains in the community. I want to move mountains so the power of God and the Word of God can flow freely. Mountains can take a lot of different contexts. And when you begin to believe, praise God, God will begin to use you to move mountains. Is it scriptural? Did the New Testament church pray this way? Absolutely they did. Here's an occasion where they just got done being persecuted for getting somebody set free. They came back to their own company, and they prayed this. Acts chapter 4. Now, Lord, look in their threats, and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's how they prayed. They weren't squeamish about the power, but you notice they prayed for miracles. Now, again, you got to understand this. An adulterous sign seeks after a, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. That's not the context here. These people didn't want him to move for their sake. They were already believers. They already loved God. They already knew God. He's saying, behold their threats. Stretch forth your hand. Signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy child Jesus. Again, you see meekness and fear and trembling and submission to God, and the power of God moved and flowed powerfully. But they wanted their generation, they wanted their area touched with the power of God. That's what was in their hearts, and they began to pray it out. It is scriptural to pray these prayers for New Testament believers. God wants his power demonstrated through his church. Again, not to win an argument, but the heart of the church to touch the people and the nation around him and where we live. And so as we begin to see that, again, I'll just kind of, my point is, you see that faith is going out ahead of the miraculous and the demonstration of power. There is faith. There is a releasing of faith. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, pray for me that I may have boldness, that I may open my mouth boldly and speak as I ought to speak. Pray for me. Paul went into those places, prayed up, not personally, but with the backing of churches behind him. There was faith that went before the demonstration. Here we see a case in Lystra. A certain man without strength in his feet was sitting crippled from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, and seeing, he saw that he had faith to be healed. He said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. But you see, that man wasn't sitting there with his arms crossed saying, if this thing is really true. No. Paul wasn't doing a, Paul wasn't doing a trick, a party game to prove something to him. Paul perceived the man had faith. There was faith that went out ahead of the demonstration in that man. Paul didn't do that with every sick person that day. He did it, we see that in the case where he saw that man had faith to be healed. That faith was out front. of the power of God. What are we talking about? I want to inspire you to release your faith. When you begin to release your faith and you pray and you take those steps of obedience and things like that and submitting yourself to God, there is power. Sometimes it could be to pray for somebody where you feel a witness of the Spirit of God. I need to pray for that person. Okay, I know God's will. I know His desire. I got the witness. I got the word. All right, there's only one thing left. You step out and pray. And then there's power that comes. That power is released through faith. When you begin to do, you know, the Apostle Paul could have perceived that he had faith to be healed. There was a green light. It took faith for Paul to say what he said too. That guy's been crippled from his mother's womb. Man, run the math on some of those laws of probability. But hope this is really God and da 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 da. All that's out the door. You're working on a spiritual plane here. That guy's got faith to be healed. You say it. You got the witness. Praise God. That's exciting. That's how God wants us to live. Now here, as we're looking here, and kind of tying it into our day, let's bring it up to 2015. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, this is the Apostle Paul admonishing Timothy about what it's going to look like in the last days. But know this, that in these last days, perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times today, would you say? Here's a few ways that we can tell that we're in the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Now you're going to think, well, we've had all this stuff. Yeah, as long as you've had works in the flesh, you've had this to degrees, for sure. But there's going to be a ramping up of this to where it becomes not only there, but it's the norm, and it's right, and if you don't get it, you're wrong. I mean, it's on another level, okay? Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at this. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. Is it, in other words, the power of God? You can have a form of godliness, but deny its power. You can have really good doctrine, but be powerless in your life. Is it okay in the last days to deny the power of God? No. The power of God is what will sustain us in these last days. A form will not sustain us. Don't let people mock the power of God in your life. Don't be dissuaded by people who mock the power of God. I'm like you. I've done the research. I've done the Googling. I've seen the apologetics. I've seen the mocking of the power of God. And I mean, these people have perfect suits, not even a hair out of place. I give them a 10 for form. But their theology lacks the power of God. We need the power of God. We should not deny the power of God in the last days. We need the power of God in the last days. And again, as a charismatic, you can't go there, yeah, I'm going to shoot you, power of God, I'll shoot you. No, you got to stay out of that ditch. We need the power of God in the last days because this world needs the power of God because they're godless people that need to see the power of God that can fix broken lives. This is why prayer, this is why fasting even. We don't talk a lot about fasting, but fasting can be a powerful way to kind of calm your flesh down a little bit. We can be very wimpy in our flesh and different things, but I'll tell you what, just sometimes a little bit of fasting can kind of calm you down a little bit and get you spiritually focused, spiritually minded, and really begin to say, God, I want my heart to be right. I want the power of God for this generation for the right reasons, the meekness, the fear, the trembling, Father God, that I will just by faith begin to walk out and touch people's lives according to the obedience and the flow of the Holy Spirit, and it's anointed in its grace to do it. There is a release through faith that happens as our motives are in the right place. A sign of the last days is that people are going to deny the power of God. Have a form with no power. No. We don't pull back from the power of God is what I'm saying. That's my point. in the last days. Why would people pull back? You know, there's a lot of worldly intimidation that comes through verses 2 through 4. Scoffers, Jesus, you know, Peter said, I think, in the last time, scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or is it Paul? One of those. Where is the promise of his coming? There's a lot of worldly pressure that mocks and is anti-Christ, anti-God. There's a lot of pressure. And as you love him and you want to people, and you want to hurt any feelings, you want to do anything, you got to forget all that. If you're going to try to play politics with the world's feelings, that's not how you're going to reach them. And I'm not talking about being rude and all that stuff, but I'm talking the love of God. And whatever that is, it's whatever God shows you it is. You're going to love people. And what that means is, you know, praise God. A lot of times you just be quiet. I'm just going to pray for them. They don't even know I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. Other times the Lord might even prompt you to tell them you're praying for them. But what are you doing? You're following on the inside. Sometimes people have success in these things and they'll make a rule. That's what you always do. Well, there's great principles, but it's not always going to be Bithynia. It's not always going to be Asia Minor. Sometimes it's going to be Macedonia. Sometimes it's going to be Bithynia. I'm kind of talking figuratively about what I'm talking about with the Apostle Paul. Sometimes you got red lights, green lights. It's not that Bithynia is wrong or bad, but there's just different ways to minister and flow. And so you just got to do and flow with what God has shown you to do. And don't make a law for everybody else once you have success in an area. Just praise God for it, all right? And say, hey, this is one way God worked in my life. All right, praise God. I'll keep track of that. And maybe God will bear witness to me to do that somewhere. We're not serving in an oldness of the letter. We're serving in the newness of the Spirit. And so even in our being led and different things like that, but our heart and our motives is to see the power of God released in this earth, to see it released in this planet, but keeping our hearts, you know, pure and right. We kind of know that even in some things. We know like bitterness is wrong, and we know other things are wrong. But in our theological stuff, we got to keep it in the center of the road too. Okay, Lord, I'm going to keep it right. Keep my heart right. Keep my motives right. Meekness, fear, trembling. That's what I want. I'm not going to take the challenge. Come on, give me a signal. Prove it. I'm not going to take that challenge. I'm not here to prove myself. I'm not here to be vindicated. I'm already fine in my spirit, secure. Here to minister the love of God and to help people. Here's a case where Jesus was ministering. He asked the Father. This is a guy who is epileptic and throwing himself in the fire. He was just having, you know, the disciples couldn't get him set free. Think about that. All of Jesus' disciples could not get this man set free. They all tried and they could not do it. Well, I'm glad they didn't stop their theology there and start to decide some things about the power of God. No, praise God. Jesus came on the scene. He asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. He's often thrown himself into the fire, both into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Praise God. Again, you're kind of seeing fear. You're seeing trembling. You're seeing meekness. You're seeing a heart. Aren't you? It just kind of like the Apostle Paul. There's a humility. He doesn't have the arrogance. He's not offended. He's not, you know, he doesn't have an attitude about him, does he? He's got that same humility. It's almost like, I like the scripture says, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It's almost like humility is a conductor of the grace and the power of God. You see this humility. And there's a humility there in his heart. And what is Jesus helps his unbelief. And the boy gets set free. The boy gets healed. You know, he'll help your unbelief. Praise God. As we're turned to walk by faith, not by sight. You know, when you see some of those scriptures, you know, in the Word of God, that I can do all things through Christ, and some of those amazing scriptures that are in there, you know, you got to ask yourself, does that, you know, or just take this. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 23. Now ask yourself honestly, does that bring condemnation to your heart, or does it bring inspiration to your heart? Jesus did not say that to condemn us. He did it. He said it to inspire faith, not to condemn your small little lack of faith, but to inspire what's possible. We're all growing. Nobody's arrived. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm reaching, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to that upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's what we're doing. Praise God. When I look at that, knowing the power of God is released through faith, Lord, help my unbelief. I want to believe more. I want to believe more. I want to have faith in God. I want to move mountains. Praise God. And I'm not moving mountains with a chip on my shoulder. I want to move mountains so that this world can see the power and the love of God. I want to move mountains. See how we got to keep our heart in the right spot? Easy to get pulled off. But when we want to move mountains for the reasons he wants us to move them, man, mountains are going to get moved and will be moved in these last days as he's coming back for a glorious church. Here we see Peter saying, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved through trials, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We're experiencing that this morning in worship. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Praise God. One of the ways that we release that power and release our faith is through joy. We just begin to, by faith, begin to rejoice. I didn't put it up here, but you know the James 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tests. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, in terms of just releasing faith, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Here's a powerful way that we release faith, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And then finally here we see an example of the Apostle Paul speaking and singing. Acts chapter 16, again, they obey the Macedonian vision. They go over there. They get a bunch of people set free, get a girl delivered of a demon spirit, and then they get thrown in jail. But before that, it says the multitude rose up together against them. Basically, there were a few people in the crowd that were losing money because they got a girl set free who was making them a bunch of money through their divination and whatnot. So they turned the crowd against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes, this is Paul and Silas, commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul was going to practice what he preached. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's what he just got done saying, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, singing and making melody in your hearts. He was singing and hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. What happened? The power of God was released here. And this was just a simple speaking, singing. He was just making melody in his heart to the Lord, knowing that he was going to be filled with the Holy. He wasn't commanding for the chain. He wasn't commanding for the chains to be loosed. He was just worshiping God. And in worshiping God, the power of God was released. There are going to be times when you don't know what to do next, but you're in the trial and the situation, but you begin to do this, just singing, making melody in your heart, speaking to one another, declaring the word. Power of God is released in those times. And what happens, I love it where it says, everyone's chains were loosed. I see that in the natural, but boy, I see it in the spiritual too. How many times I've been there where I've just decided, I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to praise you, Lord, and chains are loosed. Chains of fear, chains of doubt, chains are loosed in the praise and the worshiping God. How do I get my heart to that place where it's really strong in faith and the motives are really pure? Man, we'd all like to be up here, wouldn't we? Well, there are steps we can begin to take, each of us, to grow and go from glory to glory as we behold him. We're changed. Changed from glory to glory. And this is what we got to realize as we're making these decisions in our lives to keep our mindset on things above, do all those things. Stuff is happening on the inside of us. God is doing a work in our heart that gives us capacity for things. It's an amazing thing when all of a sudden you begin to remember that you haven't been afraid for a while. Think, wow, I haven't been afraid of that for a while. What's wrong with me? I haven't even thought about it. Well, the roaring lion is still there roaring. You just don't hear it anymore. Nothing. You've changed. And when God begins to make those changes in you, not only do you become stronger as it relates to the things of the flesh, as far as your flesh and that wants to pull you to do the wrong stuff and all that, but you get stronger. You can handle the power of God, and it doesn't corrupt you either. See, the Bible says he wants to exalt you. God wants to exalt you in due season. What's due season? It's the season where you have meekness, fear, and trembling, and you can handle the power of God to touch a generation. That's due season. We want to be able to release the power of God in our lives. We release it through prayer. We on purpose pray. I got a situation, Father, help me, strengthen me with might by your Spirit and my inner man. I pray in the Spirit of God, pray in the Holy Spirit, build myself up on my most holy faith, knowing that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man who God has made righteous through the gift of righteousness avails much. I think there's a reason that God doesn't always allow us to see everything that the impact of our prayers. Some of us would probably get a little lifted up. Thank God that we don't always see it on this side. It's probably for our own good, our own protection. Your prayers are having a huge impact. Know that. Keep praying in faith for people, for situations, and realizing that you can pray specifically to be strengthened with might by your Spirit and your man. It's also released through the Word of God. Again, this is not a law book. This is a new creation book. This is an instruction manual on how to make this machine work. Machine work. This new person work. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to jump through hoops here. In other words, I'm not trying to jump through the hoop of do not steal. I've got the power to never steal in me. That's who I am. In fact, every time I miss it, it's me. The Bible says your heart condemns. There's something, the new creation on the inside goes, ugh, I'm not satisfied. You can satisfy your flesh, but you never satisfy your spirit when you sin. So you feel like, oh, it's like right after you miss it, it's like, oh, I know, why did I do that? Well, it's a good sign you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because you know on the inside, that's not you. But there's power in the Word of God. As you read those admonitions, I'm not condemned by them. I'm empowered by them. Praise God. That's another thing that I can do as a new creation in Christ Jesus, how I can live. And finally, it's released through faith. We're on purpose stepping out, doing, saying, declaring what it is that God wants us to do with a demonstration of the Spirit of God in power, not getting drawn into pharmaceutical little contests, not having a chip on my shoulder to vindicate the power of God that it really is for today, but having meekness, fear, and trembling because I want to see broken people's lives put back right. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Just the fact that there is tremendous power that works toward us as believers. There is power for our everyday lives that we can pray, Father. That there's power in your word, in the knowledge of God that is wrapped up in the exceeding great precious promises of God. That through those promises, we literally partake of that divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is the ability of the Word of God to empower us. We thank you for it, Lord. And we also thank you, Lord, that that power of God is released through faith, that we can have faith in God. Praise God. We're glad you said it, Jesus. We're glad you've given us permission, praise God, to have faith in God. Faith that is not limited. Faith that is unlimited. That if we can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You said it, Jesus. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for that truth to pass away. I pray for each one of us here this morning that we would get that revelation of the exceeding greatness of your power that works toward us. Believe. Your mercy is amazing. Your mercy has covered us. There's nothing we can point to that we can say, oh, the blood, that was just nothing. Praise God. And like Paul, we forget those things that are behind and we reach forward now to those things which are ahead. Work in our hearts, Father God. The love of God stirred up in our hearts, desiring the power of God, earnestly coveting, Father, those gifts of the Spirit, working of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healings, Father God, that we can touch with meekness and fear and trembling our generation, Northern Door County, Father God. We thank you for it, Lord. We don't want just a form of godliness. We want the power thereof, the power that works toward us as believers, that power has not stopped working toward us, but it still works toward us as believers. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.